recorded live.
Welcome, everyone, to the Customer Experience Optimization Online Talk Show. Today, we're talking about customer experience metrics, and this is an online conversation with Ingrid Lindberg of Chief Customer and myself, Lynn Hunsaker of Clear Action. We hope you'll visit our blogs and see more about the types of things that we're saying about customer experience metrics. But in this online talk show, you're welcome to post your questions in our chat room, which you can find at tinyurl.com/CEM-show. So customer experience management hyphen show. So today our three questions are going to be, what are effective customer experience metrics and what are they not? Second, how do you establish them? And third, how do you bring them to life? And remember last time we talked about customer experience culture, and that was following on customer experience strategy. In both of those conversations, people were wanting to know, how do you track success and how do you measure progress? So I think this is a topic of high demand. And so how do you view customer experience metrics overall, Ingrid, and how do you view them not?
I think customer experience metrics are such a hot topic right now because we've got tons and tons of people out there who are trying to help drive, whether you call it customer centricity or customer success or whatever you're calling it, right? All of these companies are trying to figure out how to integrate the customer needs into all of the daily operations of the company top to bottom, right? And so many companies are out there trying to figure out how to measure that what they're doing is actually having an impact. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, you've got believers in whether it's your how simple is something to do or how high or low is the effort or net promoter score or customer satisfaction. But right now, I mean, there's a thousand different ways that people are out there measuring it. And frankly, I don't think we found the magic bullet yet. How about you, Lynn?
Well, I know that the most common ways of measuring customer experience are to track either survey results or, say, call center operations or customer retention and churn rates. So those seem to be the three areas that I see most often. And I think that what we're doing by that is we're trying to see how our customer experience efforts are impacting the bottom line. I think that's really the ultimate, probably not so much the bottom line, but top line. It seems that the primary emphasis in common practice these days is how do we get a uptick in revenue? And so there's a lot of effort being put into seeing whether your call center efforts are driving revenue increase, your survey efforts are driving revenue increases, and your retention efforts. Do you see them in those three buckets as well?
So you know what? I love it when you and I bring different perspectives, Lynn, because I think that's what gets exciting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a lot of firms have not been or have not become that targeted to be able to articulate it in such a way, right? So I'm seeing that a bunch of firms have a huge focus on staff, because they've been told that satisfaction is a driver they need to pay attention to. But very few have been able to make that correlation between whatever metric they are using to measure the impact of their customer experience efforts. Very few companies have been able to make the correlation between that metric and top line performance, bottom line performance, retention, lifetime value, you know, a whole myriad of what I would say are much more traditional business metrics. So I'm seeing, you know, a lot of, you know, on the maturity curve, if you think of like a five-step maturity curve, I'm seeing most of the firms that I do business with really in kind of phase one or phase two. They found a metric that they think is going to help identify whether or not what they're doing is making an impact, but they've not necessarily taken it to the next level of actually being able to tie it to any type of ongoing business metric yet. Does that make sense?
Yes. So here's what I've found in customer experience metrics or any kind of metrics is you need to view them as a flow. rather than a finite element, meaning that logically, whatever you're measuring is an outcome of something or a cog in a wheel in something. For example, I guess the easiest analogy to use is losing weight. So if I'm going to lose weight, I can either step on the scale 75 times a day or however often and see if things are changing. I can also track my scale to, how many dates I get or whatever on my online site. Any kind of thing like that, I can try to correlate till the cows come home, but it's never going to be decisive or conclusive or even helpful when you think about it, because standing on the scale is really an output of all a number of things that happened before that, right? So if I'm looking at my call center or my retention initiative or my survey as a finite thing and just trying to find the connectivity to revenue, it's kind of silly, like standing on the scale and then thinking that all of your things about wanting to lose weight are going to come true. So what I think about is, if I want to lose weight, I've got to get a certain amount of sleep. I need to get a certain amount of carbohydrates and fats and proteins, and also a certain amount of heart rate uplift and so forth. There's a whole equation that goes into it. And unless we're looking at customer experience metrics as a whole equation that's going into the survey or the retention or the contact center operations, and then going in, that's part of an equation that's going into the financials and not just one-to-one relationship, I think that we're always going to be coming up against a wall. So do you use an analogy kind of like that, Ingrid?
I do not have an analogy that's that fun, Lynn, no. I often, when I'm talking to firms about, because that seems to be the question, right? That seems to be the question that I get more often than not is, and it's usually framed from a relatively panicked customer experience executive, right? So that's usually who submits the question to me, which is, I've been in place for 18, 24 months. I've been measuring things, and I've been measuring these 22 things, and I've made these 52 changes, and I'm not seeing a change in my score. So I think that so many people, as I was saying before, are still really back at that initial space of, what is it I should be measuring, right? What is it that I should be measuring? And trying to figure out that equation is a much longer tail for a lot of people who are in this space, I've seen. And maybe in the B2B space, it's, you guys are further ahead, but I know in a lot of the consumer programs, it really is we know that if people find us easier to use, the likelihood of people returning to us is high, right? We know that. But just because they return, does that actually mean they'll buy? Does that mean they're loyal? Does that mean, right? So it's almost a series of dominoes, right, where you've got to find the first domino to push over that will lead you through the rest of those questions that will, at the end of the day, help you to get to what is that fiscal outcome that we know all companies are driven by, right? I mean, that's business at its best. So it's a time of exploration for a lot of people, but there's definitely not the holy grail of everything that will answer everything for everyone. I found that definitely to be the case.
Well, I like your domino example, Ingrid, because it's a lot like in marketing where we talk about a funnel. It's kind of a numbers game in a way. You have to attract awareness of your brand among a certain number of people in order to then get some engagement among a certain number of people inquiring about how well your offering fits with their needs. And then a smaller number of people are going to actually buy it and so forth. So it's like a funnel that has a diminishing number as you go along. And I think that's what you're referring to with, you get people to engage in something and then a certain percentage of them will continue forward for purchase and repurchase and so forth. Is that right?
I think it's all about that finding of what the secret sauce is by company, right? I talk about Spidey sense and secret sauce all the time. Way too many cartoons in my life. But Lynn, I think, you know, it's true, right? I think the question that everyone always asks me, and I'm very curious as to your answer, so I'm going to ask you, is, all right, Lynn, if there's one thing that I should measure, regardless of industry or regardless of vertical or distribution type, ignore all of that, what is the one thing that I should measure? And how do you answer that when it comes to customer experience, when you get asked that question?
My answer is that you should peel the onion one layer back from whatever your thing is that you're tracking with customers. So by peeling the layer one layer back, I'm saying, do a root cause analysis of the thing that you're aiming for. Why is that happening? And why is that happening? Do root cause analysis means you have to ask why 5 times, okay? So when we do surveys, we always sit back with a cross-functional group talking together to look at what the customer comments are around a certain issue, whether it's a positive thing that we want to continue moving in a positive trajectory or a negative thing that we want to resolve. Prevent recurrence of, fix for customers. We ask the question 5 times, why is this happening? Now when we come to the root of the issue, that's the thing we're going to track. We're going to track how well we're resolving that final root or how well we're increasing that root for something that's positive we want to include to increase. So this to me is the primary metric that people should be focusing on for bonus criteria, for performance objectives, and for a balanced scorecard. Because if you're focusing on the root issue and tracking whether it's going away or tracking whether it's becoming stronger, whatever the case may be, that's what's going to tell you that the customer call center metric or the retention metric or the survey metric is going to increase. And if you've done that root cause analysis correctly with the key driver analysis intact, then you're going to see a correlation in business results. And sometimes those business results aren't necessarily a revenue uptick. Sometimes the business results are first a cost reduction and a hassle factor reduction that over time will translate into a revenue uptick. So that's how I think that, in a nutshell, you need to be focusing on a root cause issue, and that's the primary thing.
I love the 5 whys, Lynn. I've said that to you before. I love the 5 whys, just consistently pushing. There's a story that I tell, and I actually blogged about it today, and in prep for this, I was trying to get my brain wrapped around all of my best practices for metrics. And it was in the 90s, and I was at a conference, and I was listening to an operations leader from a major airline talk about their lost luggage statement. And I love this story, right? This airline was known for being friendly and on time and had a great safety record and all of those beautiful things, right? So from a customer experience perspective, everybody was like, woohoo, you're number one. But at the end of the day, what they found as they kept asking why aren't people always 100% loyal to our airline? Why do we attrit? Why do we lose, right? Why do we lose when it's a flat price game? They came back to the fact that they had had a significant uptick in losing luggage. And I love this. I love this story, right? Because they were one of those very first examples of a company that truly did put all of their focus on that metric. So they rallied the entire organization on, okay, we're not going to lose luggage. We're not going to lose luggage. And sure enough, you know, you tie people's compensation to it and behavior starts changing and things got back in line and, you know, they had a we're never going to lose a piece of luggage as their big lost luggage statement. And it was amazing because it worked, right? I mean, it worked. And I think the moral of this story is all of those outlier pieces, whether it be retention, share of wallet, likelihood to repurchase, all of those fell in line. once they went after that underlying piece that was disrupting their relationship with their customers. And the reason I tell this story, and I loved one of the questions I got on my blog today, which was what happened to all of the other metrics? And I see in so many cases, you know, customer experience isn't a full replacement. It's also not a bolt-on, right? So when you put out something like a customer experience metric, and in this case, the lost luggage metric, it doesn't mean that safety doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that, you know, being on time doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that the friendliness of your staff doesn't matter. All of those things continue to matter, but if you nail all of those basics first, it then affords you the opportunity, I think, to get to those really specific root cause issues like lost luggage, right? So it's nail your basics, hone in on what is that thing that may be holding you back from just being superb. And that's where I think you can get some of the best customer experience metrics. So, you know, a different way of getting at the whys, right?
Well, that's a perfect example of proof that my method makes sense. So another thing that I've seen is that people will get frustrated because they can't see that an individual who answers a survey individual by individual, the revenue has a correlation. And what I've seen that among companies that say they've found those connections to financial results with customer experience metrics is that they've done a tops-down rather than a bottoms-up approach. Because when you're looking at a sample of customers, you can look for trends among the sample or patterns within the data that correlate between the type of answers they give and the type of operational behavior they exhibit, and then the financial results coming out of that. And looking at things as a group of people seems to make a lot more sense compared to trying to force it on individual observations, because individuals do have other factors at play. There are other forces going on with them, and so it may not be always apples to apples or a continuous trend. But they found more success in looking at things tops down and then saying there's a higher likelihood among these types of customers to behave in this type of way and have this type of impact on our business results. And I think keeping in mind not only the revenue but also the costs and the maybe non-quantitative aspects of business results, because let's admit that employee turnover, employee morale, employee productivity are also part of the equation of business results.
For sure. They're all pieces to the puzzle, right? They're all pieces to the puzzle. I think one of my favorite things to be able to do, other than always aggregate, right? Always aggregate. And the always aggregate and be patient was actually a lesson that I learned from a dear friend of mine, a guy by the name of Bruce Temkin that many of us know, when he was at Forrester. Years and years ago, I was the customer experience officer at Cigna. And we were doing all of these great things to change the operation and to change the culture of the company, yet we weren't seeing the results in his customer experience rankings, right? So every year he would run this huge survey and rank all of these big companies on how we were performing. And I remember calling him one day, and I was just verklempt, right? I was like, Bruce, I'm killing myself here. We're making all these changes. And why am I not seeing changes, you know, in the actual results? How come my ratings and my rankings aren't changing? And he said something to me that I've carried with me ever since. And he said, in a large number of companies where a person is not doing business with you on a daily basis, it can take between 18 and 24 months after you've made that change for that to show up in your rankings, right? I mean, that was absolutely fascinating to me, because I had always thought that it was such a, you know, if I make a change, I should be able to see a result. I should make a change and see a result. And it was such a great learning for me as I thought about outside in metrics, right? Those entities that were measuring and monitoring all of us as performers in, specifically in the consumer world, that it would take that long for something to show up in the results. So how you can create that type of a runway for yourself, I think, is also key as you're setting up the metrics. Have you seen anything similar in the B2B space, Lynn?
Oh, I sure have. And one of the things that we found is that you have to help people to reset their expectations or to get to let go of those chips on their shoulder. And just because you've made a change doesn't mean that the customer will acknowledge it or even give you credit on your next survey or even, you know, change their purchasing behavior because they might be really ticked off about something that happened a while back. So to help people along with that, we found it really useful to be more transparent about the types of things we were doing to remove hassles or to fix things that had been chronic issues. And being more transparent means that you're publishing publicly or, you know, sending all of your customers a letter or whatever to let people know that you're really trying and making progress on X, Y, and Z. I think it's better to talk about making progress rather than to make some kind of grandiose statement in like a TV commercial saying we're the best at blah, blah, because that couldn't even go further counter to your objectives, where people are just so mad that whether it's true or not, they aren't going to accept it and they're going to continue the negative word of mouth. I do that.
Bad Lynn.
Well, a brand that made me upset in the past, and then now they're saying how great they are, it just doesn't jibe.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay, that's the proverbial difference between a brand legend and a brand myth, right? Isn't that it right there?
It is. Well, one of the things that I think is a real big opportunity with customer experience metrics is to be more creative in the analysis of our customer experience tracking. So what I mean is looking for patterns, helping the data to tell a story, using customer lifetime value and share of wallet and things like that to characterize the data so that it makes a more compelling story for your managers to act upon. They're able to see what percentage of their customer base is at risk or is an opportunity or whatever. And when you use lifetime value, share of wallet, and things like that in conjunction with looking for patterns and trends and groups of customers that are saying this or that or doing these type different behaviors, now you have an impetus for managers to do something differently. I've also seen stories of companies where they're trying to find those financial connections, and then I've asked afterward, after the presentation, so what are you guys doing behind the scenes differently to make your results change? Well, you know, we're doing the find and fix stuff on a one-by-one basis when people say they need an outreach or we're escalating things. But what kind of program do you have to figure out that the lost luggage is the Achilles heel of your situation? Oh, no, we haven't moved on to that yet. So you really do need to use your data and your metrics wisely to tell a story that compels people to do things differently. That's what transforms customer experience.
Oh, see, I love that. And I'm a huge believer in a little bit of competition is good for the soul. So I tend to do things like once we've identified what that lost luggage metric should be, I will put out scorecards. This is along the lines of how do you bring it to life.
Mm-hmm.
I love putting out scorecards by product line, asking that question by P&L, asking that question by service channel. You know, I've even gone so far as to do it facility by facility when I had some issues within contact centers. Because as long as you're measuring equally and reporting equally with no bias, numbers are numbers, and nobody likes looking bad. And it is amazing to me how fast people will change and how quickly those numbers will start to change from being in the bottom to being in the top as soon as you start publishing that. And I love doing it on like a quarterly basis because I think it's important to show all of your employees exactly where they stand, right? I mean, it's a a kind of sideways way in, but it works. It absolutely works as long as you're right and you've already done the work to ascertain what that lost luggage statement should be, what that important metric is. But you can change things very quickly and companies very quickly once you start scorecarding and reporting out and not hiding behind it, right? So share it broadly, share it everywhere, put it on the internet, post it on the walls, let everyone know exactly where they are within their world on that, you know, at that given moment within that quarter. And it really does create a lot of change fast, Lynn.
I believe in that wholeheartedly as well. What gets measured gets managed, and if you're creating visibility, people are likely to really put their heart behind it. Now, I think that that is the most important type of employee engagement that you can have. It's way beyond the rah-rah, you know, just engage for the sake of engaging, or let's get everybody's spirits up. There's a place for that, but by and large, the most meaningful employee engagement is where they're making a difference for customers. And so the kind of thing that you're describing there, Ingrid, I think is extremely powerful.
Well, and it just allows everyone to understand exactly how they can play a role in it, right? I think so often we see the rah-rah, and then we see metrics that are handed, unfortunately, just to a contact center or just to a centralized group who's responsible for customer experience. But it's important. It's a part, you know, it's about everybody. Everyone has to be at that party.
That's right. Now, one of the things I would also like to suggest to listeners is to track your own progress as you're managing customer experience and how well you're providing information to each business unit, how well you're providing maybe tools for them to understand different things or to be more tied into customers' realities. So the customer experience metrics are not just about the outcomes of your survey or your call center or your retention efforts. Customer experience metrics are about those root issues. They're also about the degree to which you're enabling progress to happen as a facilitator of customer experience excellence in your company. And if you take all of these things side by side, creating kind of a flow of metrics, you should be able to see some correlations over time. And do set up the expectation with everyone at the outset, like Ingrid brought up, to be patient and to expect that there will be a lag factor. And keep in mind, as Ingrid's also brought up, that there are a variety of factors within and outside customer experience management itself that play a role. So keep in mind that it's more like a equation where customer experience is maybe one of the components of it, and there are other components as well that play into the end results. What are your parting words of wisdom, Ingrid?
Always remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint, you guys. Hang in there. It's a long journey. Looking forward to our next conversation, Lynn. It's always a blast.
Definitely. Thanks for all of our listeners, and please do continue the conversation either on this talk show. There's a place for comments on the talk show, or we certainly welcome the continued conversation on any of our blog posts related to customer experience metrics. You can see Ingrid's blog at cheekcustomer.com. You can see my blog at clearactioncx.com. Thanks, and until next time, best wishes to you in optimizing customer experience.